mental health, including working towards a goal of reaching your optimal weight and creating an optimal health environment for the rest of your life. Views and opinions presented on this show are not the views and opinions of Live 95 staff or management. You should independently verify information heard on this program yourself. And now, here's your host for Path Changers Habits of Health, Sandy Seibert.
Hey, welcome. We're running a little late tonight, so sorry about that, but this is me.
It's my fault. You can fire me.
I wasn't going to say any names, Jay. And we won't say
what... It wasn't me last week either.
We won't say what was involved and the reason why he was late either.
You know, I did not even think about that.
Well, welcome. This is Sandy, your lifestyle and health coach, and welcome to our show. We are excited tonight because I think that my guest and I, we really have a passion for this topic that we're going to talk about, and it's health. And Donna Shanklin is joining me. And
it's not like corn in your teeth, is it?
Yeah.
Never mind. No, go ahead.
Yeah, we're not going to say any of those bad words, Jay. So, hello, Donna. Thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Thank you for inviting me.
And you have been with the Extension for how long?
I've been with the Alabama Cooperative Extension System for almost 10 years. It'll be 10 years in November.
Okay.
And I'm a regional extension agent, and that means that I work 7 counties here in North Alabama. And don't ask me to name all 7. Let's see. Coleman, Blount, Walker, Etowah, Jefferson, Shelby, St. Clair.
Okay. Wow. So you did it.
That's
and
a lot of miles.
I didn't have to ask you.
Yeah.
Nice. Okay, so tell us a little bit about what does your title mean?
Well, basically, what does it mean?
Or I guess what do you do?
What do I do? Okay, I work for the Alabama Cooperative Extension System, which is the outreach arm of Auburn University. And so what we do is we go out into communities and provide research-based education. You know, we don't take these, you know, trends that you hear in the latest magazine. For example, the big one now, I guess, is apple cider vinegar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's...
We don't go and talk about stuff like that. We talk about research-based stuff. For example, one of the programs we do is a diabetes education program, mm-hmm. which basically tries to teach about self-management through education on the various aspects of having diabetes. We also do a cooking school related to diabetes, how to modify your recipes so that they're more friendlier to an individual that has the diagnosis of diabetes. For example, you know, we look at fat, carbohydrates, sugar, and try and reduce those in your recipes. A diversity of topics. For example, in June, we're doing, we have an invited speaker coming up to Coleman to talk about genes and cancer, mm-hmm. about the correlation between your genetic makeup and your, I don't want to use the term susceptibility, but how that potentially impacts your development of cancer.
Okay.
And so a diversity of topics. We work cooperatively also with other regional agents in the office. You know, we have a really active Junior Master Gardener program that does gardening in a lot of the schools, teaches kids about environmental issues, so I work with them. You know, we have the Master Gardeners. You, of course, are a graduate. So
Yes.
And Extension is very involved here in Coleman.
And I had the opportunity to... also help with the Harvest of Health program, mm-hmm. where we got paired up with a cancer survivor and we grew a garden together. So that was really nice.
And that program continues.
Okay, good.
They're still seeking individuals that are interested in gardening. You need to be, you know, past your treatment over the age of 65. And if you'll just call the office, we can give you the number to contact them. It's a really good program. Again, you know, you assign a master gardener mentor mm-hmm. with a person with the cancer diagnosis.
And yeah. It was really rewarding. I really enjoyed it. It was just a very fulfilling thing to help with.
Yeah.
So I liked that a lot. So let's talk a little bit about the health of our community.
Okay.
And what do you think, as far as health goes, are our biggest struggle?
Probably access to care.
Okay.
We use the fancy term, the built environment we have here in Coleman. For example, maybe someone wants to get out and exercise, especially in a rural area. Say you live out in Carbon Hill or somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Finding a place to safely do a physical activity may be difficult, and so it's trying to make sure that communities like that have a place for people to go out and, you know, move around and get physically active, and then of course have access to, you know, food that is healthy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can see where sometimes that could be, if somebody does live way out in the country, that could probably be a challenge. As far as obesity in our county, are we making, do you know, like, is there a way to tell if we make strides forward?
Well, a lot, you know, like the public health department kind of keeps track of things like that.
Mm-hmm.
There's a ranking system that's a national ranking system. It's called the County Health Rankings. And the current county health rankings came out, and they look at a lot of different factors, from the built environment, like I was talking about, access to care, and then an actual individual's health. It has a lot of different factors. Mm-hmm. And out of 67 counties, Coleman is 18th. So, I mean, we're doing pretty good, but we can always seek to improve.
Yeah.
And again, one of the things that we got, I don't want to use the word nicked because it's not really, is that whole issue of the built environment, and then also the fact that so many people here in Coleman commute, because anytime you have that commute, you increase your chances for having a, you know, potential accident or something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, car accident. So.
Okay. Wow, there's just definitely a lot that goes into. I never knew until I started on my health journey that even wearing your seatbelt is considered a habit of health.
Yes.
Versus not wearing your seatbelt, which is a habit of disease. You know, when you start to think of things that cut and dry, it really does make a difference.
Yeah. I mean, the best thing you can do for your health really is to quit smoking.
Yes.
Or use any kind of tobacco products.
Yeah.
Because that's the, you know, studies have shown that that's the one thing, if you do that, you're really going to improve your health.
Yeah. That's first, and then being at a healthy weight is,
mm-hmm.
is right up there, the second one. And I don't know if you hold the same opinion as I do, but I really believe that we should all be eating like we're diabetic.
Yes, the way that a person who has diabetes eats, mm-hmm. is a healthy way to eat.
Yes.
And so it's not necessarily the way a diabetic eats. It's the way really we all should be eating, watching our portions, mm-hmm. making sure we eat from the different food groups.
Like small meals, smaller portions.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's funny because I've been in situations where somebody will pass on dessert or, and immediately people are like, oh my gosh, are you diabetic? Like it's like the most horrific thing.
Yeah.
And then I've heard people say, no, I can't have that. I'm diabetic. And they kind of get that answer. Oh, well, oh, bless your heart, you know, and it really isn't a bad thing. I mean, really being able to eat healthy is actually a real privilege.
Yes, yes, definitely.
So.
And, you know, the more the research is being done, the more you realize that eating healthy is a privilege. You realize that, you know, people that have reduced means, as we would say, you know, they don't have as much money, and so they can't make the healthier choices in order to get the calories that they need to just, you know, survive,
mm-hmm.
that, you know, they make the less healthy choices just because of economics.
Yeah.
That it's, you know, it's easier to, you know, buy a carbohydrate product that has a lot of carbohydrates rather than, say, purchase, you know, a fruit or a vegetable or something.
Yeah, or they're really, really energy dense and nutrient poor.
Yes.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, not to mention, I mean, a lot of that stuff is kind of highly spun with sugar and and definitely keeps you in the thrust of that, too.
Right. So. But a lot of it's just habits. You know, one of the things that we find with the work that we do here in the state is that, you know, the last generation, the generation I'm a part of, 55, is we really didn't cook. You know, our mom cooked, but, you know, we didn't. And so our children that we've raised them on, you know, a lot of the processed foods that we purchased, you know, the Mrs. Stouffer's or whatever. And it's only been maybe in the last 15 years we've realized, hey, we need to step back and start, you know, cooking at home a little bit more and providing those healthy meals. But, you know, it's kind of like a cycle that we go through. And we're coming out of that cycle now. I guess the big thing now is, you know, you've got these moms that are, you know, you have to eat organic. And, you know, our thing within Extension is, you know, if you can afford to eat organic, that's great. But if you can't, don't feel that you shouldn't give them any veggies at all unless it is organic.
Right.
Give them the veggies.
I can't deny trying to eat organic is definitely more expensive. But now I've also heard rumors that if you kind of overdo it in that direction, you can actually do more harm. What do y'all say about that?
Are you talking about, like, clean eating?
If you do, like, only organic. And I don't do only organic. I'm asking for everyone else.
I guess I don't understand the question. I mean, it's great if you can afford to eat organic.
Are you saying you can overdo organic?
I've heard that. Is that, I mean, I'm asking your opinion. No, I don't know.
No, I think it's just a matter of can you afford to eat just organic. I mean, you know, I think that has more to do with it than anything. Is most people, if they choose to eat just organic, you know, it can be cost prohibitive. And then you have the whole issue, too, is a lot of people think they're eating organic, but are they really? Because, you know, a lot of people sell items that maybe they say that they're organic, but does it have the USDA organic label on it? And does it, you know, do you know what you're getting, I guess? And, you know, you have to be sure and read the label and know what you're getting. A lot of people, when they read the word natural, they think that means it's organic, and it's not.
Yeah. Or it's good for you.
Yeah.
You could probably make a whole show out of that.
Yes. Yeah.
The false labeling and trickiness of.
Yes. Yeah. Because, I mean, sugar is natural. I mean, you got cane sugar, beet sugar. It came from a plant. But, you know, the problem is that, you know, we consume too much of it.
Yeah. And it's high spun now. Yeah. I mean, it's.
Well, you know, what we always tell people is, what do you get when you eat sugar? You just get that little burst of energy, whereas if you eat an apple, you get fiber, vitamins, natural sugar. But, you know, when you drink a Coca-Cola or whatever, all you're getting is that calories and that little bit of caffeine.
Yeah, and I know that I listened to something just a week ago that said a third of our country is highly, highly susceptible to sugar. It's almost like an alcoholic having a drink. And I'm that way.
Yeah.
I happen to really be that way. Well, we're going to go ahead and take a break, and you're listening to Path Changers.
We're going to make it short. Like, I'll do a minute break and come right back to you.
Okay.
Since we're just a few minutes late coming on.
All right. Thank you, and we'll be back in a sec.
Live 95, Coleman's Independent Radio, is proud to present our first syndicated radio show. Hosted by our very own Coleman native, who is a member of the Coleman High School Class of 86, Paul Whatley. Tune in on Sunday evenings at 7 p.m. for British Music Rocks, a two-hour show featuring the best music from across the pond from the 60s, 70s, and 80s.
This is Paul Whatley, your host for British Music Rocks. Please join me each Sunday at 7 p.m. for British Music Rocks, where we will take an in-depth look at British rock from the 60s, 70s, and 80s.
And stay tuned after British Music Rocks for our very own Sunday Night Live. All live cuts from 9 o'clock until midnight, right here on Live 95, the station all about Coleman. We're Coleman's Independent Radio.
We'll be right back. 95 is Coleman's Independent Radio. And now it's time for Path Changers, Habits of Health, a show all about lifestyle health, including working towards the goal of reaching your optimal weight and creating an optimal health environment for the rest of your life. Views and opinions presented on this show are not the views and opinions of Live 95 staff or management. You should independently verify information heard on this program yourself. And now, here's your host for Path Changers, Habits of Health, Sandy Seibert.
Thank you for coming back. And I'm joined here with Donna Shanklin from the Alabama
Cooperative Extension System.
Cooperative Extension System. I just call it the Coleman County Extension Office. So now I know. Okay, so
we got a question about organic. Mm-hmm. And I think the question was, yes, it is affordable to eat organic, I think is what the question was.
Yeah.
Or its statement, I guess.
It started about, it was, yeah. And then also, do you think organic foods are beneficial for healthy eating?
Well, one of the things about organic is that research has shown that from a nutrient standpoint, they're equivalent to any conventional grown product. The issue with organic is generally they're harvested a little bit later, and so they might have a better flavor. And so you're hopefully maybe going to consume more of it because it tastes better. So, but from a research standpoint, when you look in nutrient per nutrient, mm-hmm. it's equivalent to a conventional.
Huh, okay. Yep, I hadn't. I had never done that research before.
Yeah.
I just know that, and it might just be an emotional thing, I know that I emotionally feel better when I eat organic, for sure.
And again, there's a lot of psychology that goes into eating.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, the more you as a pathfinder know that there's a lot of psychology that goes into the habits that we make around eating, and culture plays a role.
Our support, our family.
Mm-hmm. Well, for example, we go back to the person who's diagnosed with diabetes. You know,
mm-hmm.
they may have that super supportive relative that's like, hey, let's all change our habits and let's all eat healthy and watch our portion sizes, et cetera. And then you've got that other relative that's like, you take your medicine, you'll be fine, don't worry about it, have this pizza cake.
Yeah.
So, you know, trying to maneuver that as someone who has diabetes can be difficult. And
or anybody really trying to move their health, trying to move their health forward.
Yes, yes. Because, you know, you and I are of the age, you remember when the only place you could find food was at a grocery store. Nowadays, you can't go anywhere and there's not munchies.
You could probably go eat at Lowe's if you want to.
Yes, yes, yes. I did notice I went to the Napa store here in Coleman and they don't have candy there.
Nice.
So you might want to go there if you want to avoid food.
Yes. It's tough. I mean, it's tough. I really, one of the books I've been reading is the Habits of Health by Dr. Anderson. And one of the things that he says in there is if they could figure out how to feed us while we're sleeping, they would probably find a way to do that. And we'd probably be all for it, you know?
Well, you know, anybody that goes to the gym nowadays, mm-hmm. you see this with a lot of people that go to the gym. You know, they're always drinking those protein shakes and,
mm-hmm.
thinking they have to do this and that, rather than just really focusing on what they're eating, making sure that maybe they get that little protein boost before they have a workout or that protein boost after they have a workout,
mm-hmm.
Without relying on, you know, purchased things, purchased smoothies or whatever, that they learn how to make it themselves. They, you know, learn maybe to eat, a handful of almonds or something to get their protein boost rather than a,
Well, I think sometimes though those things are formulated for that purpose because we live in that world of convenience now,
mm-hmm.
and it's better to do something like that than like you were saying about about the mothers who won't feed their kid if it's not organic or natural.
Right.
I won't give them those vegetables. But I think stuff like that has its place for sure, especially if it can keep people focused and on their journey. But it's a fine
It's a fine line.
It is a fine line.
Because really what we try and focus and really get people to think about is just meal planning. Mm-hmm. I mean, back again, going back to when we were young, you know, our moms probably did sit down and actually, you know, they looked at the grocery store brochure, saw what was on sale, and actually created a meal plan for the week.
Mm-hmm.
We don't do that. A very small percentage of people actually, you know, plan meals.
Yeah. And oh, things have changed big time, because I know when I was a teenager growing up, like, fish was my thing, and I wouldn't want fish because of the bones in it. And then when I had my restaurant, those teenage girls, they wouldn't want the chicken because it had bones in it, because they grew up on chicken tenders.
Yeah.
So it is. It's really a lot like what you said. It's very generational.
Right.
And we have people now that, like they can't, they just struggle to foresee life without things like
Little Debbie
sweet
cakes.
Tea or Dr. Pepper or Little Debbie cakes. Yeah, where,
But I always focus on that statement, a journey of 1,000 miles begins with one step.
Yeah.
So, you know, you got to take each day as it comes and say, today I'm really going to try and manage, you know, what I'm eating. I'm going to try and make some healthy choices.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not going to beat yourself up if you choose to, for whatever reason, maybe the boss yells at you or something, and you go and get that Snicker bar, you know, and say, okay,
yeah,
I ate that Snicker bar, but that doesn't mean that I can have another Snicker bar when I get home. When I get home, I'm going to choose maybe to have some roasted broccoli or something. Take
yeah.
a few minutes and
yeah.
eat something healthy.
I'm one of the ones that would continue having Snicker bars, just because I really feel that it is a drug for me. I wish it wasn't that way, but it happens to be that way. And I definitely am clearer minded and can think better and be in control of my choices when I don't have that, have that pumping through me.
So. Yeah, and, you know, just have to keep it out of the house. I know for me, you know, my kryptonite is Cheez-Its.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot have Cheez-Its in the house because they will be gone.
Yeah.
And, you know, but you make that choice that, you know, when you see it in the store, well, it's not coming home with me.
Yeah, yep, you're staying here. It is, and it's like you said, it's a journey, and it really boils down to that consistency over time. And it's hard sometimes, I think, because we get to where we really want the results, and it doesn't, I mean, our bodies just, they lose weight responsibly, not at the rate that our mind thinks it should happen.
Yeah, and if you look at some of the research, you know, some of the research is saying that as it relates to fat is, you know, we have a certain number of fat cells in our body,
mm-hmm.
and that, you know, as we get older, it's just harder to lose weight because our fat cells want to hold on to everything, and we just have to work a little bit harder than, you know, say a teenager.
Yeah, and our muscles aren't what they once were.
Right.
So, but it is absolutely possible. I see it all the time,
mm-hmm.
more now than ever. So,
mm-hmm. because, you know, people are really, you know, wanting that quality of life.
Yeah.
That when they get to be 70, 80 years old, they want to be able to, you know, walk
mm-hmm.
to where they want to walk. They want to be able to, you know, dance, do all that. Well, in order to do that, in your 30s and 40s, you have to make these healthy choices so that, again, when you're 80, 90 years old, you're out doing stuff rather than, you know, sitting in a nursing home waiting for your family to visit.
Yes. Well, thank you very much for joining us. What a great talk. We'll have to come back and
I have to say, my grandfather is 93 years old, and I visited him today plowing up and messing around in his garden. So there you go.
Great. There you go. Sweet. Well, thank you for listening to us tonight. You're listening to Path Changers Habits of Health. I just want to do a quick invite to anybody local. Come on out to my Make-A-Wish fundraiser at Panera Bread Monday night from 4 to 8. All right, stay tuned for the Big D Radio Show. He's up next. Have a great week.